बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। चौपी जाना वाला गिरिवार गोपी जनवाला गिरिवार दारी। यशोद नंदन व्रजन रंजन यशोद नंदन व्रजन रंजन जमुन तीरा वन चारी जमुन तीरा वन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर श्री राधे। जय कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम। जय गौरानीताय जय गौरानीताय जय गौरानीताय जय गौरानीताय। प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद। जय गौर प्रेमानंदी हरि हरि बो। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. O my Lord, the all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jaya mudirayet shrimvantam swakata krishna punya shravana kirtana hirdiyantasto hibadrani vidunoti suritsatam Nashta praeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata shevaya bhagavati uttamash loke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Sorry, I didn't warn everybody, we were doing it together. So before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So today we're going to be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 9, Verse 23.
Brahmanasya param daivam brahma. Brahmana kile te prabho. Vipranam deva devanam Bhagavam atma daivatam Brahmanasya param daivam Brahmana kilate prabho Vipranam deva devanam Bhagavam atma daivatam.
Please chant.
Brahmanasya param daivam. Nakilate prabho. Vipranam deva devanam.
Vaishnavis?
Sya Parandevam Brahmana Kilate Prabhu Vipranam Deva Devanam Bhagavam Atma Daivatam.
Synonyms. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Brahmanasya param daivam Akila te prabhu Vipranam devanam Bhagavam atma daivatam.
Anyone else? Okay. Synonyms. Brahmanasya, of the Supreme Director of the Brahminical Culture.
Param, the highest. Devam,
position.
Brahmanaha,
the Brahmanas.
Kila,
for the teaching of others.
Te,
your.
Prabhu,
O Lord.
Vripanam,
of the Brahmanas.
Deva Devanam,
to be worshipped by the demigods.
Bhagavan,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Atma,
the Self.
Devatam,
the worshipful deity. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Lord, you are the Supreme Director of the Brahminical culture. Your considering the Brahmanas to be in the highest position is your example for teaching others. Actually, you are the Supreme Worshipful Deity, not only for the gods, but for the Brahmanas also. Please repeat after me. O Lord, you are the Supreme Director of the Brahminical culture. You're considering the Brahmanas to be in the highest position. Is your example for teaching others. Actually, you are the Supreme Worshipful Deity. Not only for the gods, but for the Brahmanas also. Purport. In the Brahma Samhita, it is clearly stated that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes. They are undoubtedly many demigods, the chiefs of whom are Brahma and Shiva. Lord Vishnu is the Lord of Brahma and Shiva, not to speak of the Brahmanas in this material world. As mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord is very favorable towards all activities performed according to Brahminical culture, or the qualities of control of the senses and mind, cleanliness, forbearance, faith in scripture, and practical and theoretical knowledge. The Lord is the supersoul of everyone. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the Lord is the source of all emanations. Thus, he is also the source of Brahma and Shiva. Om Agyana Timrandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prasharine Nirvishesh Shunyavari Pashita Disitarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shri Advaita Gadarha Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Dear devotees, I humbly ask for your blessings today that I may speak in this class in a way that glorifies God and inspires myself and others to serve Guru, Radha, and Krishna. So today, the main points that I want to discuss are forbearance and teaching by example. So why forbearance and why teaching by example? So in the verse itself, it says, O Lord, you are the Supreme Director of Brahminical culture. You're considering the Brahmanas to be in the highest position is your example for teaching others. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada shares The Supreme Lord is very favorable towards all activities performed according to Brahminical culture, or the qualities of control of the senses and mind, cleanliness, forbearance, faith in scripture, and practical and theoretical knowledge. So there's a lot to unpack from the different qualities of Brahminical culture, which would take many classes to dive into, so we will not be doing that. We're just going to be focusing on forbearance and how we and others can teach this quality by example. So first, I just want to clarify what Srila Prabhupada said so many times about the castes. So this is a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 4, Verse 13 in the purport, Srila Prabhupada said, the four castes are the intelligent castes, the martial castes, the productive castes, and the laboral castes. So these castes are classified in terms of one's work and qualification and not by birth. So what we are going to be speaking about today, or you're going to be hearing and I'll be speaking about today in terms of Brahminical qualities such as forbearance and teaching by example, are qualities that can be attained by anyone, regardless of your birth. So again, just to further clarify this point, just one more time, another quote from Srila Prabhupada, this time from Canto 9, Chapter 21, Verse 21, in the purport he says, the members of the varnas, or social orders, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, must be ascertained by their symptoms, not by birth. Birth is immaterial, quality is essential. So with that in mind, let's focus on the quality of forbearance, which then helps us teach by example, and forbearance can then help us grow and enrich our loving relationship to Krishna. So I always like to look to the dictionary. I'm a nerd, so that's what I go for. So let's look at the definition of forbearance in the Cambridge Dictionary, and it says, forbearance is the quality of being patient and being able to forgive someone or to control yourself in a difficult situation. So I'll be switching from forbearance to patience many times because a lot of times forbearance can seem like an archaic word for a lot of people. It could also be very heavy. And in modern times, a lot of people associate it with loans and debts. And also, Srila Prabhupada himself, he uses patience a lot more. If you search the word forbearance in Vedabase, it only comes up 49 times. But patience comes up 190 times. So what are some examples of forbearance or that deep level of patience and forgiveness and self-control from our sacred literature? So Srila Prabhupada gives multiple examples of those who have endured great hardships with patience, self-control, and forgiveness, all for the sake of sharing Krishna consciousness in the world. So in purport of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 11, verse 55, he says, there are many examples in history of devotees of the Lord who risked their lives for spreading of God consciousness. The favorite example is Lord Jesus Christ. He was crucified by the non-devotees, but he sacrificed his life for spreading God consciousness. Of course, it would be superficial to understand that he was killed. And similarly, in India, also there are many examples, such as Thakur Haridas and Prahlad Maharaj. So in this example, Srila Prabhupada first mentions Lord Jesus Christ, which is such a powerful teacher of forbearance. I mean, you can understand his patient forgiveness, this super high ideal, in the story of when Jesus Christ is being crucified and he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And that's from Luke 23, 34. It's been a long time since I've considered myself a Christian, but I still get goosebumps when I hear that. It's really powerful. Another example in Srila Prabhupada mentions is Haridas Thakur. And one of those mentions of forbearance in Vedabase is exactly for Haridas Thakur. And that's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, 1084, where Srila Prabhupada says, Haridas Thakur is exceptional for his forbearance because although he was beaten with canes in 22 marketplaces, he was nevertheless tolerant. So far we have two really high ideals of people who, because of their love for God, wanted to share it with others. They experienced so much suffering and attacks upon them. However, they were so God-conscious that they were able to be patient and forgiving even to those attacking them. So another example from our scripture, which I'm sure a lot of you are thinking about right now, is Queen Kunti Devi and the Pandavas. And Srila Prabhupada says in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 16, Verse 37, he says, the Pandavas, who were direct friends of Krishna, lost their kingdom, their wife was insulted, they had to undergo many tribulations. And despite all this suffering, they were so forbearing, especially Queen Kunti. This extremely high example of forbearance, of great patience, of forgiveness and control can be seen in the beautiful prayers of Queen Kunti, which are in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, verses 18 to 43, and where you find her after suffering so much, along with her sons and her daughter-in-law, Queen Kunti is still ready to suffer more just for the chance to take shelter of the Lord and get his association. So those are all very high ideals from our sacred scripture, even Christianity, again, that Srila Prabhupada himself mentioned Lord Jesus Christ in the same vein as Haridas Thakur and Prahlad Maharaj. And of course, I'm sure we're familiar with the story of the saintly young Prahlad Maharaj who experienced so much abuse by his father, and still Prahlad was able to keep focused on Krishna, his love for him, and ultimately ask for forgiveness for his father when Krishna, as Narsimhadev, asked him for a boon. So these are really high, and I don't know about you, for me, sometimes seemingly impossible examples of forbearance. So let's talk a little bit about someone who many of you have had the blessing to experience in your lifetime, which is Srila Prabhupada, right? So if you weren't blessed to meet him in person, you can read his Lilamrita, which I have done, and I realized from reading it how forbearant, how patient from the very start he was with all the difficulties he had in India trying to set up the League of Devotees before coming to the West, the difficulties he had in printing the first volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam all by himself, then all the hardships he had trying to get to the United States, then coming to the United States with no money, alone, in a hostile environment full of animal slaughter, intoxication, etc., right? So Srila Prabhupada truly taught by example, the idea of being patient, being able to forgive someone or control yourself in a difficult situation. He was so forgiving of his early disciples and their mistakes and weaknesses, right? Many of them came to him still eating meat, taking intoxicants, and so much more. However, Srila Prabhupada, he stayed focused on Krishna, on his love for Krishna and Krishna's love for him. And how important it was for him to teach by example, right? To show that patience, to show that control and that forgiveness when needed. And then finally, I want to just give one last example from ISKCON, which are all the Vaishnavis, especially Srila Prabhupada's disciples, who suffered so much after he left this earth. Srila Prabhupada always did so much to protect his spiritual daughters. We had that beautiful example of the story that Mukhya Prabhu told before class. And then after he left, there were so many instances of abuse, both in homes and temples of Vaishnavis and children. And there was discrimination, like not being able to give Srimad Bhagavatam classes, not being able to chant japa in the temple, not receiving prasadam or receiving it last. Again, there were a lot of hardships, and we can read about them in books like The Emergence of Women's Voices in ISKCON, or you can read it in their own voices in the book A Bond of Love, Srila Prabhupada and his spiritual daughters. And speaking of such, I want to read a story from there. It's the story of Maithili Devi Dasi. And she was at the Yuhu temple, serving as a pujari to the deities, when the temple was attacked by police who were paid to do this. So these are her words. They were smashing everything. Most of the devotees were already in the paddy wagon when the police started for the deities. I closed the deity doors, put my back on the doors, and said, no way. Policemen came at me from all sides, started smashing the tube lights, and went for Tulsi Devi, who was in the middle of the temple room for the morning puja. I went to get Tulsi. Then they grabbed me and started hitting me hard. I locked my arm around a pillar, and they beat me hard on the elbow and the head. I had two long braids, and they dragged me by one braid and one leg across a whole field with 1,000 people standing around watching. Not one person lifted a finger to help me. The police threw me face down into the paddy wagon, and I was spitting. There was not one moment in my life that I have ever experienced Krishna consciousness except for those moments. I did not feel any pain, not a thing. I had no other thought in my mind except Radha Rasa Bihari. That's the only blessing, true blessing I've ever had of all the practice, all the devotion, all the sadhana I've ever done, those few minutes. I tell people, it's not me who saved the deities. That was the moment the deities saved me. That whole incident was a blessing. I didn't do anything special, but Krishna stole my heart at that moment. I've been trying to escape ever since, but I can never, ever let go of Prabhupada, and he will never let go of me. Haribo, yeah. So while these Vaishnavis dealt with so much, however, they continued to serve Lord Chaitanya's mission, Srila Prabhupada's mission, his vision of ISKCON, because of their love for Srila Prabhupada and their love for Radha Krishna or Radha Shamash Sundar in their deity forms. So before I go any further, I just want to make sure that in giving these high ideals from Jesus Christ, various pure devotees and sacred scripture, personal examples of Srila Prabhupada and Vaishnavis from our movement, I want to make sure that I'm not giving an unhealthy impression of practicing forbearance. And what do I mean by that? While forbearance is about patience, it is not an excuse to tolerate or enable abusive or harmful behavior. We know that offending and abusing a Vaishnava is a great aparad or offense. And everyone technically is a Vaishnava, whether they know it or not. In human body or not, all souls are Vaishnavas. It's just a matter of how much they're aware of that in this lifetime and how much they're turning towards Krishna, right? So again, letting someone abuse you or harm you is enabling behavior that ultimately is detrimental both to the person being harmed and the person harming others. Again, that's if you have the ability to not have that, like do something about it, right? And again, Prabhupada went right to the quote. He was like, talk about Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mari Lila 19.156. I was like, okay, Prabhupada, got it. If the devotee commits an offense at the feet of a Vaishnava while cultivating the creeper of devotional service in the material world, his offense is compared to a mad elephant that uproots the creeper and breaks it. In this way, the leaves of the creeper are dried up. So being forbearant doesn't mean allowing someone to commit Vaishnava aparad. If we can step away again, if we can speak up, if we can do something about it. True forbearance comes from a space of mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being. And again, I just want to clarify this point before moving on, because forbearance is such a powerful virtue. And it's essential to understand that it doesn't mean allowing abuse or tolerating harmful behavior. Healthy forbearance includes setting boundaries to protect your well-being and those of others in your care, and to seek justice when necessary. So as much as we want to strive to the high ideals of Jesus Christ, of Queen Kunti, Prahlad Maharaj, our dear Srila Prabhupada, etc., we also want to be realistic. And we want to know what can we achieve in a healthy way that still keeps our bhakti, our love for Krishna and others, strong and growing. So speaking about bhakti, I want to talk about how forbearance is possible in a healthy way. And in the context of bhakti and our relationship to Krishna, it comes back to love, always. Now, everybody knows I always talk about love, because when I was preparing for this class, I spoke to Rukmini Walker Prabhu, and she said something really powerful to me. She said, it's not possible to be forbearant if you're not experiencing a higher love, right? So love is at the center of hearts that can be patient, can be forgiving, can be self-control. It's our connection to the higher love of Krishna, both in receiving his love and offering our love to him in turn that forbearance can exist in our lives. That higher love, Krishna's love, that gives us meaning. That helps us endure. You know, there's a really wonderful book called Healing Prayers, Reflections on Queen Kunti's Prayers by Bhaktivedanta Goswami. I see you shaking your head. You know about it. Yes, beautiful. And I just want to read a quick quote from there where he says, if we find ourselves amid an absurdity of no meaning whatsoever, then our patience is limited. Conversely, we can endure the worst ideals if we can make sense of what is happening and be able to see God's will behind it. This is not just resigning ourselves to all that is going on and just reluctantly accepting things as inevitable, but to joyfully accept the circumstances, understanding that the all-benevolent Lord who wishes us well is behind it all. So Queen Kunti was able to endure the worst because she saw God's will behind it. And she understood that the God behind that is a loving God. Krishna is a God that loves us. I mean, he says to us in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 3, you are my very dear friend. You are my devotee. So he's speaking to Arjuna, yes, but we know that he's also speaking to us, right? And it's understanding that Krishna loves us and that we love him, which allows us to be patient and to control ourselves in difficult situations. We know that Krishna has our best interests at heart, and we can have faith in him. So Chaitanya Charandas Prabhu says in one of his Gita Daily writings, which I highly recommend, he says, his, which is Krishna's love for us, is not based on who we are, how virtuous we are, how inclined we are towards him, or what we have done for him. Even if we have done nothing for him, even if we're not in the least inclined towards him, even if we're stooped in sin, he still loves us. Krishna's love for us is not just a matter of emotion, but also of action. He creates and sustains the world as an arena where we can play out our desires till we mature in wisdom. To help us mature thus, he provides us timeless wisdom in the form of scripture. To maintain order in the world and to stimulate our spiritual growth, he descends repeatedly and also sends his many representatives. Moreover, he constantly accompanies us in our heart as his super soul manifestation, guiding us through the voice of conscience and inspiration towards wise choices. He also orchestrates circumstances externally to demonstrate to us the wisdom he teaches through scripture. And depending on what's best for our growth, he expresses his love differently at different times. But irrespective of those varied expressions, his intentions remain unvaryingly loving. And this is further supported by Mahatma Das Prabhu in his beautiful small little book called Self-Care Affirmations, where he gives this affirmation. This is number 7. It's my favorite. Krishna loves me. Despite my faults and sins, I open my heart to receive and accept his love. And I give myself the same love and affection he gives me. And this is a brief explanation he gives for this affirmation. Krishna sees the good in us, but because we know all our faults all too well, we may not think we are lovable. So we might have difficulty understanding why Krishna would love us. But he only sees the good in us, never forgets our service. So he is not looking at us like we are looking at ourselves. The fact is that Krishna cannot not love us. Yeah, that's another, I got goosebumps right now. And I share this affirmation and explanation because this is a big part of my personal example of forbearance, of trying to be patient with myself and others when life is difficult, of trying to control myself, of trying to be forgiving, again, of myself and others when challenges come up. This was an affirmation that I kept coming back to again and again the past 8 months when I was bedridden, recovering from a back injury. So this is actually why I was gone for so long. The last time I gave class was last July, and I was so excited I was going to teach at Bhaktivedanta Academy. And then that was all put on hold when I injured myself in the fall of last year, and I was stuck in bed. And I will be 100% honest with all of you, patience was hard to come by. I was very impatient with myself, with the circumstances, and I really struggled to accept. I really struggled to be forbearant. And I really struggled to connect with Krishna's love under those circumstances. And why? Because I forgot. I forgot to reach out to my spiritual mentors and others who love me for help. I forgot to look to the holy scriptures for guidance and inspiration. And most importantly, I let myself get overwhelmed by my physical pain to the point of forgetting that Krishna loves me. Everything has happened to me for a reason. And I may not understand it right away, but Krishna has a plan for me. And I forgot my faith in Krishna's plan. However, Krishna is so forgiving. I mean, talk about forbearance. That's Krishna, right? He's so patient, he's so forgiving, he's so self-controlled that even we, his loved ones, forget about him. He's still there, right? So I just think it's very ironic, and it seems very appropriate that the first class that I give, again, the main theme is forbearance. It's patience, it's being forgiving and self-control, because those are all things that Krishna has shown me that I still have to work on a lot. And now that I feel more connected to his higher love, I can be patient. And I can think about what good has come from the suffering that I experienced. Perhaps Krishna wanted me to arrange to give prasadam to all those nurses and doctors where I had my back procedure. You know, they were so grateful for those prasadam cookies, by the way. And they knew that I was a Hare Krishna devotee because through the whole procedure and everything, I just kept chanting Hare Krishna, and I asked them to play. I was playing kirtans on my headphones, so they knew. So hopefully the credit went to Krishna, right? And it could be that Krishna needed me to experience such high levels of pain so that I can still see that I needed more to learn about being forbearant, about being patient with myself and others, about forgiving myself mistakes that I make, forgiving others, learning to practice self-control in difficult situations. It could be that I still need way more to learn about compassion and letting things go. I mean, the lessons, there's so many lessons that I've yet to even uncover about what I recently experienced. I'm sure Krishna will be very kind and let me know very soon, even more of them. So one last quote, and this is actually from a Psychology Today article, which says, forbearance is about reducing harm by making an enlightened choice to take a step back and offer grace to others. It's about believing that forbearing or letting go does not mean that you're being weak and submissive. No, forbearing means understanding that sometimes it's wiser to surrender, to let it be and accept. The practice of forbearance is not about giving up or submitting, like if you have no choice or free will. Forbearing is a powerful act of grace and compassion that is offered willingly and intentionally. So we all have a choice, and we all can teach by example, an example that is steeped in the higher love that Rukmini Prabhu was talking about, right? Krishna's love, his love for us and our love for him by practicing forbearance. Now, before I finish, for those who were already at Mangarati, you kind of know this part already, but for those who are not, I just want to add one last personal example of forbearance, of patience in the spirit of love, and that is my mother, Patricia Tamara, whose birthday it is today. I humbly ask that you bless her today. My mother suffered a lot in her life, from a chaotic, poverty-stricken childhood to an alcoholic, abusive husband, to many other trials and tribulations. However, she has been so patient while at the same time continuing to strive forward. And it's been for her love of her daughters, but very much so her connection to God. My mother to this day continues to sit in a space of gratitude to God, even with all the challenges she's faced. So she's an example to me. And I just want to say thank you, Mommy, and happy birthday. Hare Krishna. And finally, I just want to finish with some just last thoughts on practicing forbearance, some practical ideas. So one, pause, reflect, empathize. Take a deep breath and think about the situation. And whenever possible, try to understand others' perspectives. Ask yourself, what can I learn from this? Two, remember Krishna's love and forgive. Remember how much Krishna loves you and that he always has your best interests in mind. Remember to forgive yourself and others for past mistakes and shortcomings to help you heal, and ask yourself, how can I move forward? And three, seek support. Reach out to those who love you, your guru, your god siblings, your family, your friends, etc., or even a counselor when you're facing these challenging situations. It's especially important to connect with those who are compassionate and can support you in becoming more forbearant and more connected to God. Ask yourself, how can we support each other in becoming more forbearant? So thank you again for this opportunity, and a special thank you to Sri Gaurangi Devi Dasi Prabhu, who kept me in her prayers and on the list of speakers while waiting for me to recover. Thank you to everyone who kept me in your prayers during my recovery. Thank you to my mother, my first guru. And thank you to all my spiritual teachers and you, dear devotees. Vanchakalpa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. They can fulfill all the desires of everyone, just like desire trees, and they're full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. So please, what are your takeaways, your questions, corrections, comments, and do you have any personal examples of forbearance or other people who have inspired you? I would love to hear from you. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for class, dear Damodar Priya Devi Dasi. I really appreciate it. And just as I was thinking through this beautiful talk about what can I do, especially in moments where you are angry because of what's happening around you or happening to others, and you do forget, and I find myself in these moments. So I really appreciate the tidbits at the end, because that's where my mind was going. Okay, how can I remember, what can I do? Because in these situations, you can forget sometimes, until I'm realizing you have to practice in that situation, and it's hard probably the first couple tries until you start getting it. But thank you. And the story of the Vaishnavi was so powerful and an example of like what happens like in your devotion and finding Radha Krishna in those ways, especially in extreme pain and in calamity and situations like this. So thank you so much for this class. I started it online on my way here. And I'm so happy that I was able to listen to this message. It was definitely meant for me. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Damodar Priya, for such a wonderful class.
Is it on? Is it on?
Okay. Thank you for your forbearance and for your research and for your enthusiasm in giving class. It was very contagious. I was just going to mention a story about, it was 1976 and I was in India, and we went on a women's bus, we went on a tour, you know, in Vrindavan, and we went to, you know, all the different places. We were at Radhakund, and our bus broke down, and it was getting dark, and it took a while for somebody to come and fix it and move along. And when we returned to the temple, we found that Prabhupada had waited up for us, and he was very concerned. He said, I'm so worried about what's going to happen to the women when I'm gone, you know, that he wanted to make sure that the women were protected, and like you said, that they were encouraged. So all of that is so important. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you for a nice class. I was considering while you are giving all those examples about Haridas Thakur that you mentioned three times, I was counting. On one angle to look at it, that Haridas Thakur was beaten in 22 markets, but he never experienced the pain while the blood and the skin was falling apart. And Mahaprabhu says, this, there is a beautiful verses, Tumi bhalo chintile na karo moi bol, tumalagi mura chakra hoilo bipol. The Sudarshan Chakra is there with any sincere devotee while chanting, Sudarshan Chakra is there. But Sudarshan Chakra did not work because Haridas Thakur was thinking for the welfare of those people who are beating him. And I was like thinking, what kind of mentality that, how can somebody develop that kind of? So as a result, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told to Haridas Thakur that, look at my back, I took all your beating because you did not. And at the same time, there is another verse, he says, Namanande deha sukha nahai prakash. He was so absorbed in chanting, even though they are beating, that he was experiencing bliss. So that's a very extreme example. I don't think, I mean, to be honestly, like, it will be nice if we have, if I come to that level, but I doubt to myself. On the same, there is another verse also in that chapter, Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, Haridas Thakur forgave Gopal Chakravarti, who was challenging him, that just by chanting Namavas, the liberation will come, where people are meditating for thousands of years to get. But then leprosy took place, and then eventually that person died. So then question come, did Haridas Thakur forgive him? Why that person had to suffer? Yes, Haridas Thakur forgave. But he says, bhakta dosh, bhakta sabhav agya dosh khama kare, Krishna Sabhav Bhakta Ninda Sohite Na Pare. The mentality of Bhakta, that they forgive, but mentality of Krishna, he never forgive if somebody insult and hurt a devotee. That's why they suffered. So we can look at in Bhagavad Gita 11.33, it says that the result of the war was in the hand of Krishna before even war began. What will be the outcome is already done. So then why war is there? The question is that because Arjuna forgives and he was actually not willing to fight because it's all relative and other, but that was not counted actually. The whole thing is a counseling, but it was not counted. What counted, that Krishna will not tolerate because Draupadi was insulted. Mm. That's why everybody died, 640 million. So we look at from that angle, I have to be very careful about my own spiritual path, that I am not holding any grudge or anything or offensive mentality towards other. As far what Krishna will do. It's not depend on us. So that's what I was thinking. But thank you for bringing that whole forbearance, tolerance, forgiveness, all this wonderful.
Thank you so much. And also my husband, my Prabhu, told me that you gave him very encouraging words about the class that I gave last year, and that really helped me in my nervousness this morning. He shared it with me. So thank you so much for your encouragement.
Hare Krishna. So Sanatan Goswami, when we had like pus on his hand and the bugs or worm will sit, he would like, if they accidentally fall, he would take them, put it back. Oh. Does that fall into your definition of forbearance?
Very much so. That's why I said that they're all living beings are Vaishnavas, whether they're in human bodies or not, right? So when possible, if I've seen devotees here in the temple, when there's like a cockroach or another little bug that comes into the temple, I've seen them scurry to try to save them and bring them outside so that they're not harmed. So I do think that is a beautiful example. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you so much for walking around with the microphone.
Yes, thank you, Damodar Priya, for a wonderful class. Yeah, the other evening in the Zoom call with Rombaru Prabhu, she the point came up about seeing another's worth in terms of their title, their position, or their volume of service. Yet, on the other hand, we make a point of expressing appreciation for the things one has done, and you know. So how do you, and then you bring up that everyone's, well, the worth is really comes to the point of that Krishna loves that individual, and that is enough mm-hmm. to determine their worth. Mm-hmm. But yet one could become lackadaisical and just sit back and think, why should I prove that I'm worth? And you know what I mean? All these things are going, I just mm-hmm. trying to reconcile and understand more about that sense of worthiness, I guess, in myself, and how not to inappropriately judge others, mm-hmm. you know, if you want to say.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. And I think I don't want to, like, reinvent the wheel, and that's why I always quote, like, where I'm sharing quotes from and books, because that self-care affirmation book that Mahatma Prabhu made, he goes into all of that. And he gives the affirmations, but he also gives explanations as to how us understanding our love that Krishna has for us isn't going to lead us down like a road of like, well, now I don't have to do anything. Krishna loves me. Like, he'll handle everything, blah, blah, blah. Like, he goes into that because it's understanding of a relationship. So when we know that someone loves you, right? So, for example, today's example for me is my mother, right? So I know my mom loves me so much. And because of knowing the love that my mom has for me, then I in turn want to do things for her. And my love for her grows, right? Because I love her so much and I want to serve her. I'll schedule Zoom appointments to help her get her house sold, like all these things, right? Like I arrange for her to have Association of Devotees, get blessings from all of you, you know, like we, when we're in that state of love consciousness, then we're not lazy. We're actually like energized. We want to do things. We're hungry, we're thirsty for the service, right? So at least that's my understanding of it. If anybody else can speak to it, I'd appreciate it. But yeah, that would be how I would answer to that. Hopefully that helps. Anybody else? Yes, Pranav.
I would just like to say that in my own life experience, I won't give in details, but 10.14.8, the famous verse that Prabhupada wants every devotee to remember. In the purport, middle, Srila Prabhupada writes, when a person holding non-devotional attitude or non-devotional activities, then Maybe I could be wrong, but when we say Krishna loves us, but it's misunderstood sometimes. Mm. Krishna's love does not mean he will tolerate our nonsense or non-devotional. He will create an incident and the devotee will go through a tough life, like really suffering. But actually that is the love, but it's difficult to see. Mm-hmm. Maybe I can say it, but when I experience, I don't see it, that it is the love of Krishna. Mm-hmm. Because Krishna wants that, uproot that, tendency of non-devotional tendency or offensive tendency, and he will create this. So I see a lot of devotees go through this. It is the love of Krishna, but difficult to explain to that person at that time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%.
There has to be some kind word or some way. And then later on, that devotee will realize, yeah, that was actually perfect purification, even though it was a hard struggle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. I mean, that's why I shared about what happened with me with my back injury, right? So, yeah, if you had come, you know, you had come to my house, and like, while I was bedridden and, like, in excruciating pain, and been like, oh, Damodar Priya, you know, Mataji, don't worry, Krishna loves you, this is a lesson for me, I would not have listened very nicely. I would have had to have my Prabhu escort you out because I would have been offensive. But I now I understand that. And how did I be able to get to this point was by, like you said, by the kind words that were given to me during that time, by the compassion, by, I feel like devotees during those times of suffering are an example of Krishna's love. Because in that moment, you're right, and I said it, I did not see Krishna's love. I was very upset. I was like, why is this happening, Krishna? I thought you wanted me to go, you know, teach at the school. I thought you wanted me to do this. And then I just was like questioning. And that he had reasons for it. And I just didn't understand it. But it was the devotees who reached out to me while I was bedridden. When my Prabhu would come to the temple and he would tell you and you would give him hugs and say that you were praying for me and you were praying for me and so many people were praying for me. When I would hear about that, then I would say, oh, I'm not alone. And I would see the love of the devotees, but through that was trickling Krishna's love. You know, so yeah, it takes some understanding and it takes some suffering to get to that. So thank you for making that point even clearer. anyone else? Oh, yes.
Thank you for your enthusiastic class. You're very good. You know, Prabhupada didn't use the word love so much. He used devotional service. And so in the beginning, when you know, we're trained to do some service, you know, we don't understand what we're doing, but we do it because we're told the guru. But later on, as we understand a little more of the process, we understand that if we love somebody, we want to serve. Prabhupada, mm-hmm. somebody is always serving, you know, because out of duty. But when it comes to love, when we understand that this person loves us, then we take on the yeah. service with a different attitude, mm-hmm. you know. So Prabhupada always, he didn't use the word love so much. He always used devotional service. And now I'm beginning to understand why, because it means action. Mm-hmm. You have to do something. And you so it might be some physical thing, like you said, people praying something. I don't want to use the word esoteric, but, you know, sometimes things are happening we cannot see, but then when we feel it or the process is there, then we realize so many things that mm-hmm. that's going on to bring us to that place.
Yes,
you know, and especially in devotional service, it's just like beyond our comprehension what it is. And the more the world is opening up, as the more like we hear classes like this and stuff, we open up and go, we're so grateful to be in this situation, so grateful, you know, that we get a chance to reciprocate with Krishna and also to be able to share this with other people. Mm-hmm. And that's why this preaching is so important, that we go out and whatever we can say. Recently, this weekend, I was talking to one boy in a farmer's market, and I was telling him, he kept asking me so many questions, and he was saying, why do we need to go to church? Why are there so many different gods and all this stuff? So I was saying, there's only one God, you know, we just have different perception of him. And then I said, you know, Krishna is, he's so beautiful and he's so nice and he's so kind. I didn't realize I had said that, Krishna. So at the end of the conversation, I was saying, you know, God really loves you. It takes some time to understand him. And he said, you mean Krishna? And I was so shocked that one time I mentioned it in a whole conversation, mm-hmm. he remembered. And so I ran to the car. I had one of those pamphlets.
Yeah.
Reservoir of all pleasure, and I said, this is Krishna, this is him, he loved. And his attitude had changed in that few minutes, just because I was thinking, you know, I was able to preach from that point of, mm-hmm. you know, doing something for God, you know. I said, whatever you do, just offer it to God. And he said, that sounds good, I like that. So I was just thinking that we never know, we think sometimes we are the instrument, but when you see results like that, you know, this, it really, really impressed me that he remembered I said one time, Krishna, mm-hmm. and he did it. Anyhow, sorry.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that Krishna magic story is how I like to think of those, is the Krishna magic stories. That reminded me of a quick story. Again, since today's my mom's birthday, I just wanted to share. My mother, she's Catholic, and she's still a very devout Catholic, though she's been studying bhakti philosophy with me since I've been a devotee since 2015, and she's asked me for Spanish classes on bhakti, because when we were living in New York City, there weren't any Spanish classes, so I did group study. I've been doing classes with her since 2016 of sorts. So my mother's been learning bhakti philosophy. So she knows how to say the Maha Mantra. She knows Haribo and everything. But I never push her. I never say you have to do this. It's always like, whatever mommy wants to do, then I'm fine. So right now we're actually reading The Bond of Love in Spanish as a group. And she's getting so much mercy from all the Vaishnavis. But the cute story that I want to tell is that my mom loves scuba diving. And she recently went to Sri Lanka. And just on her own, they were very excited to, in Sri Lanka, they wear saris as well. So she was very excited to put on a sari, take a picture, and send it to me and say, look, I look like I could go to the temple. I mean, not that you need a sari to go to the temple, obviously, but still, it was that thought. And it just was so sweet. And then she goes, and you know what I did? I taught everybody to say Haribo. And I was like, what? And she's like, oh, yes. So, you know, when I go to your house, I know we always do kirtan. And at the end, you always finish with Haribo, Haribo. And she loves that my little dog likes to give kisses during that time. And everybody gets very happy. So she's like, so I wanted to teach everyone Haribo. So she taught every single person in her scuba diving expedition. It was like 12 people. They have no clue who Krishna is, but they were all... Apparently, the whole time they were in Sri Lanka, everything was Haribo, Haribo, Haribo. And I was like, wow, talk about Krishna magic, right? And again, just by teaching, for example, I don't preach to my mom. I just share with love, and I try to be forbearing. And then that's that Krishna magic, because Krishna is so beautiful. He's amazing. So thank you for listening. Krishna.